Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
By the way, Dana was mentioning the new law that goes into effect next Wednesday in Missouri. It has to be a secondary offense, but texting and driving or even having your phone in your lap or between your legs or anywhere.
In Missouri.
On you is a $150 fine. Do it in a school zone or a work zone, $500. But it has to be a secondary offense, and that stinks. In Kansas, next Wednesday, the state sales tax on groceries goes to 0%. This is not city sales taxes. Those will still be in effect. But the state sales tax, which 3 years ago was at 6.5%, will go to 0% in 2025 on January 1st. And this is not anything you buy at the grocery store. Keep that in mind. It's items like produce, meats, bread, milk, eggs, baked goods, candy made the list.
Candy?
Mm-hmm.
Are you serious?
Yeah. So did bottled water and soft drinks. Products that are not included are prepared food items. So if you know,
like the rotisserie chicken?
Rotisserie chicken, or you get chicken. Some Asian food, you know, from the...
Anything in a styrofoam box?
Pretty much. We'll get to that in a minute. Alcohol, tobacco... Non-food items, you know, diapers, pencils, whatever. Those are not included. Do you want to tell everybody what happened with the styrofoam, Dana?
You know how when you get a pizza, it will say to reheat, put the entire box in the oven at a lower temperature? There are certain pizza boxes that used to say that. We got some delicious chicken from Price Chopper and a bunch of mashed potatoes, and then I made some baked cinnamon bread and for the kids to come over. And I thought, you know what I'm going to do? I've got some cheesy corn in there just marinating. It's just on very low temperature. Mm-hmm. I'm going to put the styrofoam that the chicken came in on a tray, like a baking tray, and just pop that on the top rack, and it'll stay warm until we're ready to go downstairs and start our poker game.
In the oven?
Yeah. And then all of a sudden, I was like, after about 20 minutes or 15, I was like, it smells like toxins. I open the oven door and I'm like, oh my gosh. And it was so funny the look I got, because I think, you know, my person and I are very different, but he was like, what did you put that in the oven? And I go, well,
by different, you mean he knows not to put styrofoam in an oven?
Do you guys remember the Shrinky Dinks when we were little? Like in grade school, you would get the Shrinky Dinks and you would put some colored, like, I don't know, glitter stuff on it, and then your mom would put it in the oven, and then it would melt, and you would have a really ugly, like, hang ornament thing, like stained glass for the glass. FYI, when you put styrofoam in an oven, even at a lower temperature for 20 minutes.
Oh, let me guess. It melts.
Like a Shrinky Dink. We discovered it just in time.
You're lucky.
I think one more minute.
Because that'll catch on fire.
Well, does styrofoam, is it flammable? Yeah. They should write that on there. I'm sorry. I really thought if at a very low temperature, it would just stay warm. Q is laughing in there and he's...
You know what else you don't put in ovens?
My son's age.
Dogs, right? Kids.
There aren't waivers on those either.
You don't put aluminum foil in the microwave.
I do know that.
You don't cook anything that has metal on it in a microwave.
Yeah, I do know that. Then
sure?
Why are you told that you can put a pizza box in the oven at a low temperature to keep it warm?
I already have a problem with that.
I've never
to begin
even
with.
Told that.
Maybe that's wrong too. I thought you could.
I think you're giving out really bad information.
Why would you
get somebody killed?
We should not follow Dana for baking tips.
Why would you reheat pizza to begin with?
Well, if you do, put it in the microwave.
Yeah, I suppose.
Put a pizza box in an oven.
I'm pretty sure. Well, let me look up what happens. When you put styrofoam.
No, you should not put a pizza box in the oven. Cardboard can catch on fire at temperatures as low as 400.
Styrofoam, FYI, if you were curious, will start to soften at 212 degrees.
Soften, that's the word we're going to use?
That means melt. Reading here, it starts to soften at 212 degrees. It will melt at 464 degrees, very specific. Ovens are typically at least 325, so no styrofoam is safe in the oven. When heated, it also releases chemicals like styrene into your food. It is a possible human carcinogen.
Okay. If you want to keep a pizza warm in the oven, you can put it on the middle rack at the lowest temperature setting. You could also wrap each slice in aluminum foil. Mm-hmm.
Styrofoam is highly flammable and can catch on fire. Fun fact.
That's what highly flammable usually means.
Yeah, fun fact, it can catch on fire. I want to tell you about the funniest, most practical, lovely gift that we got from my son, number one, on Christmas. We have a cat with some thyroid issues, let's just say.
What about fat?
And when I go to feed the kitties, I just dump some food in a bowl. And they are like vultures, Scott. They are constantly weaving in and out of my feet, trying to get me to feed them. I come out in the morning. Rah, rah. You know, it really...
What do they sound like?
Just,
birds?
They sound like velociraptors in the morning. And my son has long said, you know, you have to get the feeding under control. I think you're feeding them too much. We have some issues with regurgitation that I care not to discuss. And so for Christmas, Jack got us an automatic cat feeder. And I don't know if you guys have these for your dogs, if you've ever had one for the cats.
No, Nana, my dog died.
Sorry, Scott. It is, in life, would have been the funniest thing for Stella because labs just inhale. Well, they don't even chew. They inhale their food.
They are, and I think they're the only dog breed. I may be wrong. And I heard this from my vet. Labs do not have, like other dogs do, an automatic shut-off valve in their stomach that tells them, I'm full, that's enough.
They'll just eat till they explode.
They will gorge themselves if given the opportunity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this feeder, Scott, we put it together and we started out two times a day. That ain't going to work. We're now at three. I think it's four times a day. It might be three. But a tiny little bit comes out. And you just hear this, bzz, bzz, brrr, kind of like a coffee grinder. Mm-hmm. It's very quick, a couple seconds, and then the food dumps out. We've all done the research on the Pavlov dog and you know, controlled responses with animals.
Oh, sure.
Let me just tell you, it took one feed, where the food comes out, mm-hmm. where at first the cats were like, well, what's that? In the same spot, I always keep their bowl.
And then they realize there's a reward.
Then they realize there is something coming out of that machine that I want, and now they don't even acknowledge me. They just hang out by the machine waiting.
From the text line, will somebody please tell Dana do not put the automatic cat feeder in the oven?
Yeah, I will not do that.
Okay. Or the cat, apparently. We got to make sure that we're clear there.
They melt at a much lower temperature.
How do you know?
Fun fact. It has been so fascinating watching the animal behavior around this machine.
So one of your cats is a little pudgy. Is that fair?
She has nipples and has never been with kitten.
Yeah.
It's bad. I mean, she's...
Is it possible
she's
that...
She's a gorger.
Is it possible that fat cat is taking more of the food from the skinny cat?
Yes. And this feeder comes with one side on the left for one cat, one side on the right. And the other cat is now like, get up on out of here. That is my side. You can have your side. We've been watching them. Because they don't have time to graze anymore. That food dumps. It's a tiny little, like... Kennedy dollar sized, tiny little portion. And so they run over there. One eats it on the left, one eats it on the right, and then that's it. And then it's another like 4 hours. It comes out again. It has been hilarious to watch this.
Do you think that this is going to help the larger cat lose some of the weight?
There is no question in my mind. Because I was... I don't want to say a lazy feeder. I would come home and they're like, meh, meh, meh. And I'm like, okay, bad kitties, I'll feed you. And I remember the kids like, you have to stop feeding them. I'm like, but they're hungry.
Well, yeah,
and apparently they're not.
Ones apparently always hungry.
Oh my goodness. I will report back. Give me 2 weeks with this feeder. I think she'll lose 3 pounds, 5 pounds. She needs to lose probably five, not gonna lie. If there was Ozempic for cats,
I've seen the cat. She is, it's more than you're being
it's bad.
You're being very kind. You're being kind. She needs to go on a walk. You need to get a little cat leash.
Yeah, that's exactly what I need to do. Come back with my eyeballs completely scratched out.
You won't have any skin left on you. 913-586-7798. Don't forget, we're doing Festivus Friday right after the 5 o'clock news. That is brought to you every week by Q39. Get your Q fix today at Q39KC.com. Tony Gonzalez has confirmed that he will pay the fine for Travis Kelce, who spiked the ball over the field goal on Wednesday afternoon.
Come on. That is not a celebration.
It used to be legal. They made it illegal, and Tony Gonzalez did say he would. And Travis Kelce...
We have players doing entire dance numbers now.
I know.
Choreographed.
Yes, I'm well aware. You cannot spike the ball over the field goal anymore.
There is a real reason for that.
What?
There was a tight end. I think he played for the Saints, but he went to dunk the ball over, and he grabbed a hold of the post, and he bent it.
Oh, yeah, you're not supposed to do that.
So it's like, you know, how college kids, when you dunk, you're not supposed to hold on to the hoop because you'll bend the hoop.
Mm-hmm.
Similar thing.
That makes sense. I don't know what the fine's going to be.
Well, I think it's like
$14,000. Oh, $14,069. That's right.
Okay.
$19,600 for a second offense.
I have a question this hour for our clinicians because I am so certain this happened to my mother. This is according to the feds. A dentist is accused of stealing his patient's anesthesia.
Oh.
Leaving them moaning in pain during dental surgery. A former Illinois dentist has been sentenced to prison after officials say he stole medicine intended to be used as anesthesia during surgery. 64-year-old Philip Jensen pleaded guilty to 2 counts of drug diversion, 2 counts of acquiring a controlled substance by fraud, tampering resulting in serious bodily injury, and 2 counts of lying to police regarding healthcare matters. He got 15 years in prison. 15 years. Okay. He was a licensed dentist in Springfield, Illinois, and he specialized in oral surgery. I cannot even read to you some of what he is accused of doing because it will make you writhe in pain just hearing it in your seat. But suffice it to say, it was fentanyl he was stealing for his own use. And the patients, as they went through very complicated, painful maxofacial surgeries, were reporting they could feel everything, Scott.
Oh, yeah. Including children.
Yes. Yes. During the trial, nearly 100 victims came forward, including a woman who said after her child's surgery, the child cried and told her, quote, they felt everything.
Another patient said she woke up during surgery, and when Jensen noticed, he, quote, struck her in the head with an instrument and then went on to complete the surgery, extracting multiple teeth and shaping and smoothing bones in her jaw while she was conscious and lacking pain management.
So it wasn't until the staff noticed patients moving, moaning, and otherwise showing signs of pain and distress that it was discovered he was stealing from the vials. They think, administered sometimes half the dose, Scott. And then kept the other half for himself, also means he's addicted and doing surgery as someone who probably had something in his system he shouldn't have if he's doing surgery.
100 victims came forward.
My God. I am telling you, this happened to my mother, and here's why. She had both of her knees replaced. She had knee A replaced like 10 years ago and knee B like 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And she had said to us at the time, it was night and day the second time. Keep in mind, you would know what it's like because you've already done one knee.
Yeah.
She knew what to expect. She goes in to do the second knee. She said, Dana, I felt everything. I could feel it. And coming out of the surgery, she said, I was screaming in pain. And I said to them, something is not right. I've had this surgery before. I know I'm not supposed to feel this level of pain. You're not supposed to feel any pain when you're just now coming out of surgery, right? She said it was the most painful pain next to childbirth she can remember. I do think there is a very small number in the medical community who are addicted. Just like in the general community, we have people addicted to fentanyl in the general community. We're going to have probably a little bit of a lower percentage, but maybe a similar percentage across all industries. No matter what you do for a living, there are going to be people who are addicted, including care providers.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if we are entering into a new era where we start schooling people coming out of even med school, that if you start noticing multiple patients waking up, writhing, screaming in pain, and then you say to them, we've given you the highest dose we can. They kept saying to my mom, Scott, you are on the highest dose legally we can give you of pain medication, morphine, whatever it was. That maybe we start educating people that when you see multiple patients saying the same thing,
yeah,
that more likely than not, someone is stealing what is in that vial.
That may be true. Try coming to, if you will, when you're undergoing a colonoscopy. That happened to me once. Now, I don't think that there was anything untoward. I just think that the anesthesia was starting to wear off. And
do you mind, Doc?
I couldn't move.
Yep.
But I couldn't moan.
Oh, God. That's the stuff of nightmares.
It really is. And I don't need to go through what happens when you get a colonoscopy, but you're probed.
Yeah.
And I just remember, I wasn't fully awake. I just remember reaching some level of consciousness and feeling things moving inside of me in my midsection. And I couldn't move, but I did notice that I could make noises, and I went, next thing I know, I'm in the recovery room feeling great.
So Yale last year settled with several patients who sued over this very thing. And Scott, they went to this super fancy, crazy, I mean, it's Yale, hello, mm-hmm. to get their eggs like extracted for IVF, which is apparently extraordinarily painful. And over and over and over again, women were screaming. Like they said, it felt like there was someone taking a knife to their insides. Mm. But it went on for a while. And then finally someone checked the vials and they were like, we've got a hole in this one.
Oh.
Yale actually settled. And then I remember this, the nurse got 4 weekends of incarceration and 3 months of house arrest. And the women were saying it was the most blood-curdling pain they have ever felt.
Now, was the nurse one who was taking it out of the vials, or was it one of the doctors?
Nope, it was a nurse. And the other nurses that would be on that rotation that day would, you know, it's okay, eat some ice chips. Wow, that's weird that you're feeling this much pain. Like, we've given you the highest. So you're also told when this happens that you're crazy.
Well, why wouldn't the other members on staff become suspicious?
I would have to go back and look in the Yale case how long that they found DEA found more than 600 discrepancies in record keeping for a controlled substance, by the way, after they started investigating. I'm trying to remember how long it took for someone to finally say, okay, something's not right here.
Yeah. By the way, 16.7, almost 17% of Americans battled a substance use disorder in the last year.
What percent?
That's almost 17%. Okay. Almost one out of every five Americans.
You're nuts if you think that does not, on some level, translate to the healthcare industry.
Well, sure
they're
does.
Not immune to addiction.
So it's roughly 10% of Americans battled some sort of alcohol use disorder in the last year, 9.7. So there's an overlap. You notice I said 16.7, and now we're at 19.7. So some people are addicted to alcohol and drugs at the same time.
In the Yale case, by the way, she was taking all of it and replacing it with saline. Those procedures with nothing.
That's what the dentist in this case that we started with was doing. Dave in Independence. Dave, hello.
Hey, how you doing? Love your show.
Oh, thank you. It's yours. Go ahead.
Hey, I've had 3 colonoscopies in my life. The very first one I had when I was 52, and the doctor did not use any anesthesia.
At your request?
No, that was her practice.
Oh!
And she kept telling me, it's going to be a little uncomfortable because I have to pump a little air in. And after I'm done, you're going to feel like you have to pass gas. Hell, I felt like I could float to the moon.
Dave, I have a friend who works in that specialty, and she says there are 1 or 2 patients a year who request, for whatever reason, they don't like the way anesthesia makes them feel, they don't think they need it, who request that they do not have anesthesia for that procedure.
But Dave, just quickly before we get to the bottom of the hour, when she told you that it was not part of her practice to administer anesthetics during a colonoscopy, why didn't you go find another proctologist?
Well, first of all, she was my internal medicine doctor, and she was doing a full physical exam and brought me in and didn't tell me what she was going to do until I was laying on the table with my britches down, and I didn't know anything about it. I was naive, and she said, this is going to be uncomfortable, but you're going to feel like you have to pass gas. Please don't.
That's a lot of rules, man. Dave.
All right, buddy. 913-586-7798. 913-586-7798. Here on Dana and Parks. Well, we come back to this broadcast with some sad news this afternoon. We learned this during the break. Greg Gumbel, the renowned CBS sports anchor and commentator, has died at the age of 78. This is just clearing the wires. His family confirmed the news in a statement today, saying, and I quote, "It is with profound sadness that we share the passing of our beloved husband and father, Greg Gumbel. He passed away peacefully, surrounded by much love, after a courageous battle with cancer. Greg approached his illness like one would expect that he would, with stoicism, grace, and positivity. He leaves behind a legacy of love, inspiration, and dedication to more than 50 extraordinary years in the sports broadcast industry, and his iconic voice will never be forgotten." Signed, Marcy and Michelle Gumbel. Gumbel served as a play-by-play announcer and studio host for CBS Sports, also spent years on air for NBC, won legions of fans for his work hosting coverage ranging from the NFL Today to several Super Bowls and the Olympic Games.
And don't forget Selection Sunday or Saturday.
That's right.
He was the one who
March Madness.
Thank you. I almost said Final Four. I couldn't get it out. How old was he?
He was 78.
Man.
Mm-hmm. Quoting here from, I'm looking for if there's any quote in here from his brother, but I don't see one.
Oh, I bet it's coming, you know.
Oh, sure. Sure.
Give it a day or so.
From David Burson, the president and CEO of CBS Sports, the CBS Sports family is devastated by the passing of Greg Gumbel. There has never been a finer gentleman in all of television. He was beloved and respected by those of us who had the honor to call him a friend and a colleague. Mm. Well, God bless Greg Gumbel and his family. I loved watching him, and to your point about his March Madness coverage,
yes.
I mean, that was must-watch television for any sports fan, and he did it so well. A story here from NBC, awkward moving on moment. Dozens of American Amazon packages were discovered abandoned in the woods of a Massachusetts town mere days before Christmas.
Is this the person who just said they were stressed out?
But it wasn't the Grinch stealing presents. It was a delivery driver from Amazon who said stress led them to dump the entire lot. A Lakeville, Massachusetts police sergeant discovered the hoard of packages during a routine patrol around 2 o'clock in the morning on Sunday. The sergeant noticed items were, quote, unattended.
Yeah, okay.
In a wooded area near 63rd Bedford Street. When he went further to investigate, he found three large totes that were filled with Amazon packages.
As in, I'm totes dumping these packages?
Very good. Very funny. On Monday, an Amazon driver visited the Lakeville Police Department and said they left those packages on the side of the road at 7 o'clock on Saturday night, quote, because I was stressed. The driver said they plan to report the incident to their manager.
Yeah.
Police are not seeking any criminal charges. I don't know what the crime would be.
So if you live in the area and you got, you know, you whiffed it on Christmas, you now have an excuse. Be like, it's one of the ones that got stuck in the tote.
Totes.
Tote gate.
This might be a case of it's a little too soon. Comedian Tim Dillon. Appeared as the ghost of slain United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson in Netflix's Torching 2024, a roast of the year on Friday, less than a month after the executive was gunned down in Manhattan. Dillon, who is 39, who is dressed similarly to a widely shared photo of Thompson in a navy blue pullover, a light blue collar shirt stained with blood, tan khakis,
come on,
and wrapped in chains when he hit the dimly lit circular stage at the Bellwether in Los Angeles.
That's not, you said too soon. I don't think that's appropriate ever.
Dillon quickly leaned into the bit without reserve, introducing himself as the dead executive to the audience in front of a large sign that read United Health, check that, United Healthcare CEO. Dylan joked, "I'm sure I'm going to hell for this. You might as well laugh."
Okay. If you live near Brookside or visited for the holidays, this next story is for you. The Mega Millions Christmas Eve drawing didn't produce a $1 billion jackpot winner this past week, but someone who bought a ticket in Kansas City has a lot to celebrate anyway. The Missouri Lottery says someone bought a $1 million winning ticket at the Cosentino's in Brookside.
Oh, how much?
$1 million. Oh, the player matched all five white ball numbers, didn't match the mega ball. Anytime I read a story like this, Scott, the first thing I think was I in Brookside?
No, you weren't.
I love Brookside. I've been to Brookside. I've been there probably a handful of times in the last year, but I feel like I wasn't there this past week. They, along with three others across the country, were the biggest winners in the December 24th drawing. A couple of others also did the $1 million winner thing.
But after taxes,
it's $500,000, $600,000 probably. Yeah. Not a bad payout.
Nothing to sneeze at.
Here's the deal. I think.
But that's not going to change your life.
It is a local winner because that Cosentino's in Brookside.
It's not on a main traffic.
I don't just think you would pop in there and get a Diet Coke and a lottery ticket. I think that's someone who lives in Brookside. That's where you get your groceries.
It's like the Hy-Vee over here in Mission.
Yes.
You know, and then if somebody said, yeah, it was a truck driver from California, you'd be like, what was a truck driver from California?
Right.
Doing.
Hyper local. That Cosentino's is hyper local.
Yes. And let's be honest, most grocery stores are.
Yeah. Most people shop within, what, half a mile of their home, Scott?
Well, probably within a couple of miles, yeah. I mean, the nearest grocery store to my home is 2 miles away, if you don't count the Walmart, and that's not really a grocery store, no offense, Walmart. But, and tell me, name a grocery store in town, other than, there's one grocery store, the name of which escapes me, right over there off 435, across the highway from Lenexa City Center. And it's not one of the big ones. It's son of a bee sting.
There's a Cosentino's over there, too. I shop there.
Yeah, and there's a Hy-Vee but, on 87th Street, but you have to get off the high. You have to know.
Oh, I see.
Not Hy-Vee Hen House. There's a Hen House over there. You have to know that Hen House. Oh, it's a. Not Culver's. It sounds like Culver's.
McKeever's.
McKeever's. That's it.
Yep.
And it is right off the highway. But you never see a Hy-Vee or a Price Chopper or a Hen House like right. You want to talk about hyper local? The Hen House over in Fairway.
Oh yeah.
I mean that's a hyper local grocery store.
Or the tiny one in Prairie Village. Yeah. Like I think this is going to be a Brookside winner. I am thrilled for you.
By the way,
also still checking to make sure I was not there.
It was not you. It was not you. By the way, you're going to find this shocking. Americans say they are exhausted by political news, and they are turning off the TV when it comes on. It says here, a poll conducted in early December, so earlier this month, found that seven in 10 Democrats say they are stepping away from political news. The percentage is not as high for Republicans, but it's still high. 6 in 10 Republicans say they felt the need to take some time away from political news, and independents are roughly in the same boat.
Of all the things that you could steal that would ruin your holiday, Scott.
You're talking about Jesus?
Nope.
Oh.
This is not that bad, but it's bad. They are putting out a warning that this new tiny homes trend that everyone's, you know, the tiny home thing.
It's not a trend.
Yes, it is a trend to buy them. People are downsizing. They have put out a warning that this is one of the like percentage jumps of stolen things in 2024. Thieves are stealing
tiny houses,
tiny homes. Yes.
How does one steal someone's tiny? You just lift it up.
It's according to Realtor.com, tiny homes are becoming targets for thieves stealing entire houses. In Oklahoma, a woman's dream of sustainable living was shattered when her tiny home was stolen from her locked property in Sepulpa, Oklahoma, leaving behind cut wires and crushed cables. Similarly, the Bennett family,
dreams.
Who documents their tiny home travels on TikTok, also had their home stolen and damaged before locating it with GPS. Yes, if there was ever something to put an Apple AirTag on, it's your house. That is mobile.
But they're not mobile, are they? I thought that they were...
They are. Authorities are saying lock the wheels on.
Oh, I didn't know tiny houses had wheels on them.
You can put it on like a trailer bed. Yeah.
It's not a home until you take the wheels off.
The tiny home market globally is currently valued at $5.61 billion. It's expected to grow to $7 billion by 2031. They can cost anywhere between $20,000 and $50,000, according to Bankrate.
I'm going to look up a picture of a tiny house.
Oh, they're, some of them are gorgeous, Scott.
Interior gorgeous. Tiny house.
You have to be very creative with your space.
Clearly.
Yeah. You would have to really get along with the person in your life that shared it with you, too.
They're also not legal everywhere.
Well, that's why they're on wheels.
Because of zoning laws.
Right. So you can bring it and travel in it.
Oh, those are small.
Oh, yeah. That's why they're called tiny houses.
Thank you.
You can travel with it, though, and move it from point A to point B if you choose.
Well, that's called a trailer house.
No, that's not what these are. These are like, can you buy these on Amazon, Q? Do you know?
I mean, you can. You could probably go on Amazon, and there's probably like an affiliate link to where you can get it through.
Yeah, these are so small. You got to really enjoy whoever you're living with, because when you get into a fight, if you get into a fight, there's nowhere to go.
They're all over Amazon.
Yeah.
40-foot double story flat pack house. How do they get it to you?
Well, clearly they put it on a truck and bring it.
Okay, some of these look like houses,
but they're tiny.
Do not think trailer. This is not like a trailer. What do you call those shipping containers? Some of these are not shipping container homes, which I like too.
I bet you $100 you buy the pieces to put it together.
Like the Sears home back in the day?
Like a nightmare?
Like an IKEA house, yeah.
You can get a tiny home, by the way, delivered by January 28th.
Yeah, and have it put together by, I don't know, June.
It is a 40-foot double-story flat-pack house with bathroom and kitchen for $65,000, and it looks brand new. It looks like something you would see in the woods in Colorado.
Or in The Hobbit.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Huh. 913-586-7798. We are only 14 minutes away from Festivus Friday. It's brought to you by Q39. Get your Q fix today at Q39KC.com. What'd you find in that story from the New York Times?
The New York Post just posted about this a couple days ago. That, you know, you better bolt that thing down because thieves are bringing even ATVs or UTVs, hooking it up to your tiny home when you're like, I don't know, out celebrating a kid's birthday or something. Huh. And they just take off with the whole thing. Because think about it. Not only do they have the home, they want everything in it. Your laptop, your jewelry, whatever you store that you would store in a normal house.
And what do they do? Just throw it on a flatbed truck or something?
Yep.
Okay. Dustin in Waldo. Dustin, hello.
Hey, how y'all doing?
We're doing quite well. Thank you for asking.
All righty. Just got your comment on the last segment about the Hobbit homes. There actually is a couple of companies that they come out and they will dig into the ground. They're like a subterranean homes, and they coat it with like 2-3 inches of dirt on top because apparently they are very well protected and insulated from tornadoes and such things.
Huh.
But they will make different variants, and some of them look straight out like from The Hobbit.
Okay, I don't mind that, Dustin. I'm strangely fascinated by this.
Where do you put them, though?
Anywhere you want.
Well, no, you can't.
You just buy property. They come out and you actually design it with them. They do a rebar frame, and then they'll pour it with concrete, and then they coat it with a couple inches of dirt, depending on whatever design you had selected. Like, they're all custom built. Where they come out and they dig down into the dirt on your property, and they'll build whatever you want.
Huh.
Dustin, one of the women who had her stolen, it was stolen because she wasn't living there at the time because she was in a fight with the city over zoning and whether or not she could even have it. So this goes on down in the article to say, if you're thinking about this at all, you'd better have a spot to put it,
right,
and permission to put it there.
Because any city that is going to sign off on this, because you're going to have to basically be your own neighborhood, or a developer would have to create a neighborhood of only tiny homes, because the plot of land you put it on, there's no way that a neighborhood or a city is going to go along with that.
And most mortgage lenders don't offer mortgages for them if it's not built on a foundation or...
Right.
Which
is why they sell for $50,000 to $60,000.
Because
no bank is going to get behind
that. I wouldn't take mine on the road. I would want mine... I don't necessarily want a Hobbit house, but you plop it down on, you know... property somewhere. I don't know.
Well, you'd have to be out in the partly in the country.
You probably can't put it like anywhere with an HOA, but these houses are gorgeous, you guys. This is not a double wide.
Right. I understand what you're saying, but they're also worth $60,000. You plop a $60,000 mini home next to somebody's $450,000 real home, what does that do to the value of their property?
I don't know.
It sinks it.
It really shows the flaw in
it does.
You know, how the United States, especially the suburbs, have developed.
Oh, I can hear Sam just screaming right now.
Oh, Sam would be screaming. But as a homeowner, I want to protect the value of my own property. And if
some of these are two-story, like they're a lot bigger than you think. They're tiny, but...
Well, I think they look bigger than they really are in the photographs. I think just like when a realtor takes a picture of your house when you're trying to sell it, they work these angles in the room.
There's a reason why they get in the corner.
Right. There's a reason they get into specific corners.
Now, one of these looks like a she shed that you could almost lift with your bare hands.
Okay, that looks worse
than
a double wide.
That is one room. But some of them are very intricate. Large enough.
You just mentioned a word. Whatever happened to the she shed trend that was so popular for a while?
I think the same thing. I think where I used to live in Leawood, you cannot put a separate structure up like that.
Not without getting the HOA approval.
You would have codes knocking on your door within a day. Like, what are you doing back there? What is that?
Why does it only have one exit? What if it catches on fire?
Right.
If it catches on fire, I'm dead. Lee in Oak Grove, looks like you're going to get the last word. Hello, Lee.
Hey, Scott, I heard you guys talking about buying these tiny homes on Amazon.
Yeah.
If you go to YouTube and look up setting up tiny Amazon home, it comes to you. It looks like a shipping container.
Okay.
And it literally unfolds into a 1 or 2 bedroom house. It is amazing.
It unfolds.
Yes.
You unfurl it.
Now, yes, you do.
What do we look up on YouTube? Say it again.
Look up. Setting up tiny Amazon home.
Okay.
Okay. Like an accordion. I picture an accordion like in the old cartoons.
Lee, thank you. We're going to look that
open
up.
Open it up.
And, you do. He's right. He comes in a little shipping container. And then watch this. It comes in a shipping container.
Just
see
pop
that?
Pop it open. Huh.
And then the home's inside the container.
Wow.
And then they're lifting up the one side of the shipping container.
The flaps,
lifting up another one.
Like a food truck would have. Okay, they're making this look way less complicated than you know it actually is.
Taking the wheels off, that's important.
Yeah, but you know, Scott, what I'm saying. Like, you and I would not be able to do that in 10 minutes. They're making this look way less complicated than you know
Very
it is.
Very professional. They're wearing hard hats. Very professional. Wow, it's a beautiful little home.
You really don't
home.
Think you could do that? What if you plop that down on beachfront property somewhere?
I could probably do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, like in the Caribbean.
Somewhere where there aren't tornadoes or hurricanes, because tiny house would be gone.
Well, any house would be gone.
Yeah. Well, touche.
I could do it. If I lived by myself, I think it would be okay. But if I had somebody else in the house, I mean, you'd be on top of it. Well, wouldn't that be the point? We're going to do Festivus Friday when we get back. 913-586-7798.
It's already Festivus.
It is. It's 5 o'clock. Brought to you by Q39. This is the easiest and best time to get in if you want to get your grievance on the air as we get ready to head into 2025. 913-586-7798. Festivus Friday, the airing of the grievances when we come back here on Dana and Parks.